So praise the Lord. We've got a wonderful service ahead. We're just going to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, nothing's absolutely planned exactly, but we kind of know where we're going. Let me share with you for the next few moments and exhort you over the offering. And if you'll please, in just a moment, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, familiar verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then we're going to look at verse 9. We're just not going to be here very long, but I want to share with you. If there's any go-to scriptures in the New Testament that speak of the heart of Christian inside of Christ giving, of course we know in the law there was the tithe, and many well-meaning preachers, some well-meaning, some not so well-meaning, have tried to pull the law into a grace dispensation, and it doesn't work. The church, first of all, will never really ever be totally supported by the tithe, and so then you got to continually put more and more on people and give them incentives and special gifts and on and on and on. Try to draw from people a heart just to give. And Pastor Dave used to say it, and it meant so much to me later as I began to see it, is that we don't want money. I don't know verbatim. I can't remember exactly. I could think about it and get it. But we don't want the money from you if it's given not from your heart. You won't be blessed, and we won't be blessed in receiving it. It doesn't matter how much that is. But there's a group of people in here, and there's a group of people that are watching today that I am sure are fastly and vastly becoming true givers, not out of necessity, and also not out of the necessity of solicitation, but from the sense of the standpoint like that there has to be something presented to you. And I'm not talking about presented like as in a carrot stick or a candy stick or something as an incentive to give, but just as a project. True Christian givers don't have to have a project. Now, they can give in a project, because we see that out of this very 8 and 9. The project was giving to the church at Jerusalem. And if you had an opportunity to feed your fellow starving Christians, that'd be a wonderful project. I'd give into that. But at the same time, we know that the giver just gives because they hear from God. Here are two verses of Scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now, this is sandwiched right inside some giving scriptures in chapter 8 and 9. And as I said, this is kind of the crux of the New Testament as far as giving chapters are concerned. "But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet he became poor." His poverty was not that he lived in a lesser environment or had a lesser paycheck, or his opulence. That's part of it. The opulence of heaven was not obviously part of his life. But his poverty was this, that he went all the way to the cross. He died physically and spiritually for me, that I, through his poverty, might become, here's the true riches. The true riches that Jesus spoke of was that I could know him as a son, that you could know him as a daughter. Hallelujah. Having said that, knowing that he provided that, then that interprets out to every part of our life, spirit, soul, and body, financially as well. And in chapter 9, verse 8, it says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." That was the church that he was speaking to, but that was the individual. Say, "That means me." That was weak. Let's say this, "That means me."
That means me.
He's able to make all grace abound towards me.
Abound towards me.
It's better. Okay. that ye having all sufficiency, means everything that you need, that you may abound unto every good work. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have to try to qualify. I can just tell you this. I believe, maybe I'm partial because I'm a pastor, but I believe this is a good work. I believe that believing God for a revival in the midst of listen, I say that all of Immokalee is blood washed. I say this part of Florida is blood washed. Our expansion, we're not going to limit God to just having a nice church. We're going to be a firebrand in the earth by the grace of God. This gospel is going to be preached. It's going to be preached in word, and it's going to be preached in power in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not only going to be able to speak what things we believe in truth, we're going to be able to demonstrate. At the same time, God is able to make all grace. Now, the grace that he was talking about here was the grace of provision abound towards you, that ye, that's you and me, having all sufficiency at all times, could abound into every good work. It means we're the ones that supply. And it's not just us. There are other ministries out there that God's going to speak to you and to me to help supply the needs for. Hallelujah. Having said that, let's just pray this morning. I'm going to ask you to believe God, those that are you that are watching. Believe God with us for ongoing expenses and blessings and those things that he wants to do in the days ahead. Father, I thank you that truly by your Spirit that you're able to make all grace abound towards each one of us, myself, these, your children, and those that are watching, that we have all sufficiency at every moment that you'd ever speak to our heart, that we would be the ones that would provide through your grace. And we bless this time. We ask that you would speak to the hearts. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the grace of God would continue to manifest itself in this house. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together again. Hallelujah. You can give each other, I think we can greet each other just a little bit more. But if you have something this morning, please bring it down and participate. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless. Before this service is over, we're all going to be up here. And we're all going to be blessing the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll see why in a little bit. There's always a reason to bless the Lord. But even more this morning. Last Sunday, the Holy Spirit came on me. He came on me the Wednesday night before, gave me a short vision. And then Sunday, he spoke to my heart concerning some things about a worship miracle service. And that service is going to be Sunday night, August the 12th, okay? And the Holy Spirit instructed me that he wanted it to be on that night. We're going to come in here. These guys are going to lead us in worship. We're just going to sit here and worship. At some point, we're going to begin to pray. We're going to begin to pray for the sick. We're going to ask those that are watching and are part of our family to invite people into their homes or tell people to be watching. This is no fanfare. This is God in action. And all I know to do is when I hear is to obey. And I believe that he's asked us to do this. We're not going to set our eyes on, well, how many miracles were there? Was the service worth it? Was there one miracle, two miracles, 15? We're not setting our eyes on the miracles. We're going to be obedient to God. And we're going to worship God. And I can't wait for the days when we'll preach the gospel to the unsaved in the thousands and see the gospel of salvation and the gospel of healing be completely as one. They'll be one because they are one gospel. The Lord has also instructed me to invite you, not to mandate, but to invite you to fast some during the month of July. And I would put this parentheses. If there's any time, I know July is a busy month. We've got some people leaving to go to the Young Adults Conference. Others of you may be gone out of town during that time. But I would just invite you. The Holy Spirit has asked me to invite you to fast with us. And especially from Monday, July 23rd to Wednesday, which would be August 1st. Now, there's a 10-day period in there. I'm not asking you to do the whole 10 days. I'm not asking you to do water only. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Some of those days you can do, or some of the ways you might be able to possibly do. You may do a Daniel's fast, or you may, you know, do just whatever the Holy Spirit. But it, as we've taught here, fasting always has something to do with food. Okay, don't fast 10 days of TV. Okay, they won't work. Okay, and don't fast 10 days of hunting, fishing, golfing, going to the mall, or I'm going to fast Facebook for 10 days. Well, you didn't fast at all. Glory be to God. But we're going to see God move in a tremendous way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Let me start by saying this. The Holy Spirit is coming to me as a leader, as the leader of the church in the sense of a pastor. And he's laid his burden on me. I believe that it's not just mine. You're here because you have the same burden, and that is to receive an outpouring. Our first desire is to know him in ways that we've never known him, to make Jesus, allow Jesus to become truly the Lord of our life, and to hunger and thirst after him more than anything else in the world. The Lord has had me do back-to-back messages. Last Sunday was an incredible service, I felt. It blessed me. And it was, I don't know, the many lovers, something like that. And then Wednesday was the you might say, the sister message to that, the cousin message to that, was the full soul. What's the name of it? Hates the honeycomb. The full soul hates the honeycomb. Now, what is that about? I hope you were here to listen, but if you weren't, listen. It's incredible. The Holy Spirit is basically, I'll just put it in a nutshell, he's after, for those of us that are, Jesus said it. He said, if you bear fruit, I'm going to come and ask you for more fruit. I'm going to prune you. So here's the deal. I'll just be honest with you. That way you can, anybody that's starting a journey, many of you are well into your journey, but here's the bottom line is, if you desire to go into God, now you can back out of this. I don't want you to back out, but you can back out real quick, but because if you ever start into it, he expects more of you. And the more you get of him, but the trade-off's incredible. The trade-off is more of his presence, more of his glory, more of his intimacy, but if you bear fruit, he's going to ask you to bear more fruit. There's never going to be a point where he just leaves you alone, says, finished product. You're never a finished product until we get to heaven. So none of us, so what he's doing in this season, I found in my life, and I know because he's already revealed this, he's speaking to the church, cut off the distractions in your life. And distractions are so camouflaged that I can't even talk to you about them because you would argue with me. And it would probably make a lot of you mad if I started telling you what I believe are some of the distractions in your life. Because you'd say, that's my life, it's my, okay, but Holy Spirit, get them. Get them. Because he's asking us to come to a place where we become, like I said the other day, it's real simple. Here's the group that receives revival. Sellouts to where that people call us weird. And you know this. You're not here because I'm preaching at you. I'm a cheerleader in front of you saying this is the anthem of all of us. This is what we all believe. This is why we're here. We don't want church. We don't want, one of my favorite vision of the house is the one that we have on our face page of our website, and it was a vision that the Lord gave somebody that's here this morning and it's part of it, and they've spoke that vision prophetically. It's about a 20-minute vision. It goes back years ago, and it shares our exact heart of our house. mediocrities or a melancholy. Just listen, you can go someplace and get to heaven that's far less strenuous on your flesh than here. But I'd rather die than to live in that. There's something inside of me that the more that I've got, the more that I want. And there's something inside of me that said, that is saying, Lord, go after it. Come on, Holy Spirit. The wounds we talked about from Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend, your best friend is the Holy Ghost. And he will faithfully wound you in private. See, if I wound you and come to you and say, you know what, I think that's a distraction in your life, you'll say, well, you know what, you need to mind your own business. You're my pastor, I respect you, but that's between me and God. And I say, amen, get him, God. Because faithful are the wounds of the Holy Spirit. Because once he asks of you, because in a couple of weeks we're going to have people stand up here together laying hands on the sick. We're only ever going to go to receive this thing when we separate ourselves and revival. We'll say, oh, but revival is one thing, intimacy with him. No. You can't separate him from what he's asked you to do. They're one and the same. You cannot. I've heard people say, well, it's God first, then it's church, and then it's family. And I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about. It's just God, and he's everything. If it's God, Jesus said, you can't call me Lord unless you do what I'm asking you to do. In other words, I want intimacy. Well, then do this. No, I just want intimacy. No, well, will you go do this? Will you obey me? No, I just want to know you. Will you do it? And it's one and the same. You can't say, I want to, oh God, I just want your word and I want your presence. And the next thing he'll say, well, go do this. And he'll, no, I just want your word and I want your presence. And he'll say, go do this. They're one in the, his asking us for an outpouring is the same as walking in total direct fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord's asking us to lose distractions, to find intimacy, to find a place where we cherish his word like we've never cherished it. Where we're just, this is a negative word, usually obsession, but to be obsessed with knowing God. I can tell you this, there's always going to be some among us that don't understand even the group that they're in. They're here because they like it, but they don't understand where we're getting our energy from. It's not me, it's God. Recently, there's so many of you that if we had time, I'm sure you could all share, but the Holy Spirit's been dealing with people. And they've been coming and sharing certain things with me. And I was like, my God. Now, I was about to walk out of here Wednesday night, and I was over here in a conversation, and it was with my wife. My wife and Kirsten were talking, and she was sharing. She was saying, God has given me, you know, something exactly what was being shared tonight. Well, I really haven't heard, you know, exactly, but the Holy Spirit said, have her share. Share that prophecy or whatever the Holy Spirit was having her share, because I believe it's indicative of so many people that are in here. Now, her name's Kirsten, but for years, because I think it was one of the grandkids that called her, it was little Amber years ago, so it's been many, many years ago, called her Kisses. I don't know of her, if you hear me in the service, I'm not flirting with a younger woman, I call her Kisses. That's her. I don't know her by any other name but Kisses. So Kisses, would you please come? Hallelujah. She's going to share a few minutes.
Oh my goodness. Glory. Oh my goodness. Blessings and glory and honor and praise. Blessings and glory and honor and praise. This will be about 5 or 6 minutes. I ask you to just close your eyes and envision what the Lord's given us. Blessings and glory. You are in revival. You individually are in revival. For as he is, so are you in this world. See yourself walking in revival, says the Lord. For even as I am one with the Father, so am I one with you. Revival is not just to be a nice confession and vision for the future, or something that may or may not happen one day by chance if God's willing to hear us and decide to pour out heaven on us. No, revival is on purpose. It is not just a promise that you stand on for the future. It is how you are to live as my individuals now. For revival is about personally living my gospel. The gospel of the kingdom, which I placed inside each and every one of you the day you became a new creature in me. That is the world you are to live in now. My kingdom come, my will be done in you, on earth as it is in the kingdom of heaven within you. This is not a self-seeking gospel. This is not a sovereign gospel. This is a gospel of both power and love, and it's meant to be lived on purpose. This is how I have called you to live every day, everywhere you go, in every situation. There is no time when you are allowed to wear a basket on your head and pretend that you don't know me. Those days are over, says the Lord. Take heed according to my word. For just as Jesus walked in revival and lived the full manifestation of the kingdom of heaven at all times, he did not sit around waiting for heaven to rain on him. He knew who he was, and he knew who and what was on the inside of him, and he had a mission, and he kept a single eye with fierce focus on receiving, being, obeying, and manifesting love at all times. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, loving every single person around him, and loving not his own life unto death, while destroying hell for a living. Likewise, you also ought to live in the same manner, knowing that it's not you, but Christ in you, your hope of glory. You must stop waiting for what I've already gave you, says the Lord. For my blood speaks a better word than your feelings. And as long as you are continually in the process of conforming to my image inside of you, and as long as you are living with clean hands and a pure heart, then you are qualified. Yes, you must grow up into me, but that has nothing to do with sowing seeds everywhere you go and loving the people around you. For even though you don't feel like you're walking in 100-fold perfection and power yet, does not disqualify you from stepping out and manifesting me in some way. For did I not say, these signs shall follow them that believe? And did I not say to go out and preach the good news that you have received? For it is my goodness that leads men to repentance. Therefore, let them see your good works, that they might glorify your Father in heaven. For even as some sow and some water, God brings the increase. Therefore, to continue to put away childish things and continue conforming to my word and growing up into me, being a doer of the word, knowing it's not by works, lest any man should boast, but in giving thanks to me continually for the grace that has come and empowered you to live above sin, and for the spirit of power and love and soundness of mind that I have placed inside of you. For truly I have made all things new, and I desire for you to know me and to walk in newness of life. For to know me is to be filled with all of my fullness, says the Lord. For I desire to give you a completely new life, one that you no longer recognize. So accept the life you were created for as you arise and shine and walk and talk with me and know me now, that the world around you might know who I am through you and be restored back to fellowship with me and live what they were originally created for as they see your life. Therefore, fear not these changes, says the Lord, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which can save your souls. For as you begin to step out in faith, past yourself and your discomfort, and start living how I created you to, I will come and do the rest. For faithful am I who called you, who also will do it. So continue to walk humbly before me with a holy fear and reverence for righteousness and my word, and begin to take the personal responsibility of ushering in revival as if you were the only one left. Live with this responsibility. For although it's a heavy responsibility, consider it an honor to endure such things. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says the Lord. For it's no longer okay to look to the left or to the right and allow yourself to live in mediocrity and complacency as you gauge how good you're doing in comparison to others' disobedience. Remaining sedentary, getting fatter and fatter on messages when I've called you to run a race, to fight a good fight, and to exercise your faith and come up higher. For there's a world around you in desperate need of me, and me in you is their only hope. For all of creation is groaning, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be made manifest in the earth. Therefore, taste and see that I am good. taste and see what I have prepared before you. For eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So begin to see the end from the beginning, that I might close the gap, says the Lord. For as you begin to taste and see what you were created for, and begin to become one with it, choosing to live there now, living every moment selflessly by faith as you go forth in love, scattering seed everywhere you go, seeing yourself as my living, breathing revival in the earth. As you take my gospel personal, you will begin to watch in amazement as I show up and am made manifest in you. For my love is an all-consuming fire, and my love never fails. For the more you allow my all-consuming love to burn in you, the more I will be made manifest in you in every situation. First burning up everything in you that's not of me, then spreading like wildfire, igniting those around you and everything in its path until there's nothing left but a trail of my glory. This is how revival starts, says the Spirit of grace. So quench not my spirit and hold back my love no longer, as you personally heed my call to seek me first, to go, to take up your cross and follow me, that you might be conformed into my image as you live to bring me glory and make my glory known everywhere you go, that revival, the kingdom, Christ in you, the hope of glory, might be made manifest in the earth once again.
Jesus. Folks, we're seeing now, you can believe this with all your heart, we are seeing the fulfillment of the book of Joel beginning now to take place. Right now, the army of God, upon all flesh I will pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. Your young men, your old men, your maidens. The old men will dream dreams. Young men see visions. That means women. We heard a prophecy. If we went home right now, we had church. An exact mind of Christ. Every single word of it. Every single word of it was the exact mind of Christ. It's a fulfillment of the book of Joel. We've heard a prophecy. Now I want you to listen to a vision. Someone shared a vision with me last week, and I said, my God, it's straight from heaven. Straight from heaven. I'm pretty much messed up at this point. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my oldest daughter to come and share. This is Amber Siegel.
Good morning. Oh, let me get myself right. God used a vision last Sunday morning to just create a thirst inside of me, like something I've never had before, to the extent where this week my kids were banging on my door, Mommy, can you stop worshiping and praying in tongues so you can make us breakfast? And it sounds funny, but that's been our week. And in the evenings, we're having Bible time with the kids, and we do that, but not like we've been doing, and not like the want that we've had to do it. But I'm just gonna read this, and Father, I pray that you lay this out in front of their minds the way it was laid in front of mine. Just whatever you need to get over to them, it gets over in Jesus' name. I just invite you all to close your eyes as well and take this in. Sunday, June 24th. I had an amazing encounter this morning while on the way to church. The kids had stayed the night with Mom and Dad, so it was a quiet ride. Normally, we talk along the way, but this particular morning, it was very quiet. No music playing, no conversation. Nothing was wrong, just very peaceful. As I stared out the window, the song Show Me Your Way came to mind. That song had been coming up a lot in my spirit over the past few weeks, So I thought, I'm going to go ahead and find that song and put it on. As the song played, I closed my eyes and had such a sense of peace wash over me. I was praying under my breath in tongues for a few minutes when a scene started to unfold in front of my mind's eye. I was in a forest, and just a few feet ahead of me stood a doe, a female deer, with a small puddle of water at its feet. The deer was not healthy. It had hazy eyes and a dull, patchy coat. It was thin, and its hooves were cracked. It was very obvious that it was lacking in nutrition. It must have been very thirsty and hungry. You would have thought it would have lapped up the small puddle at its feet, but instead it would lean down, take a few licks of water, and then look away. Like that action in itself was just too hard. After I had adequate time to take in the full measure of the animal, my attention turned to something up ahead. About 100 yards ahead stood another doe. In that second, I was now standing beside this animal. This one was quite different. She was beautiful. Her coat was gleaming in the sunlight. Her eyes were clear and focused. Her black hooves were shiny. It was very clear this animal was getting everything it needed. And from the time that I first saw her until the time the vision was over, she never stopped doing one thing. And that was drinking from this very beautiful, crystal clear lake. She wasn't taking sips of water or lapping it with her tongue. She had her mouth open and she was sucking in the water, drinking it as fast as she could, but her thirst could not be quenched. About the time I thought, man, she has to be filled to capacity, my position and view changed. I was suddenly over the lake looking down on it. The lake had words on it and it read true worship, and it was transparent, you could see right through it. Underneath the words true worship were many words, words like peace, joy, prosperity, and any and all good things that God wants to add to us personally. That was making sense because I know through our worship we open up doors and we create atmosphere for those things to come from, to us from the Father. But then different words started to come to the surface from the deep. Words like fasting, revelation knowledge, miracles, revival, outpouring. Now everything seemed jumbled. Then the Holy Spirit spoke extremely clear. He said, the first deer that you encountered is you. It's you when you're driving somewhere and you think of me and you say, Father, give me the want to. When you say, give me more time so I can spend it with you. It's you when you say, I have no time. You are sipping out of a tiny puddle and you're not even thirsty. And where you're at, I can't even give you the ability to become thirsty. That may work for others that are not so accountable, but at this stage, you know you are held to a much higher accountability. The other deer is also you. It's you at stages in your life where you've gotten to places where you get into true worship with me and you spend time with me, where the joy, the peace, and the prosperity flow. But there is still so much more. Underneath that, there are desires to go into fasting. There are desires to spend unlimited amounts of time in my presence. There are desires that I want to give you, and they all start with time spent in true worship. But there is still so much more than even this. There is an outpouring coming. There is something I need you to get ready for. There is something I need all of you to get ready for. I need the church's hands to be able to do my miracles. At this point, I look back at the deer that was drinking out of the small puddle, but with it now were maybe 25 to 30 other deer, all standing around drinking out of small puddles and not even thirsty. The Holy Spirit said, this is my church when they say to me, I have no time. Through true worship, I will create a desire so strong to want to be in my presence that their whole day will be scheduled around getting to spend more time with me. Not because they feel obligated, but because they will be so thirsty they cannot get enough. And it will be like that deer that doesn't want to even look up or take a breath because it's so good. And at that point, when the thirst is unquenchable, watch and see the miracles that are to come. And that was it. But it worked for me.
Jesus. We We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. What a powerful vision. What a powerful vision. I want to share with you for a few moments. Thanks, Harry. And then we're going to come up here in just a little bit and worship together. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Believe me, you'll want to stay around for the end of this service. I'm going to have to pick and choose. I can't read. Well, I'll see how much. I'm just going to do the blah, blah over harder words because my mind can't even begin to try to stop because we're going someplace in the Spirit and I'm already there. I'm over there in a place where I just got to get some information out. Hallelujah. Everybody there? 2 Chronicles? It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and others besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. I'll stop right there and say Jehoshaphat was one of the more righteous kings ever to reign, Judah. He was the son of Asa. He followed in God's, in David's footsteps. He was a wonderful, righteous king. And his kingdom was attacked. And all these thousands and thousands, I don't have an exact number, but Moab, Ammon, and we find later Mount Seir, a group called Mount Seir, a nation or group, they joined in this great conspiracy to come against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, and there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude. Everybody say great multitude. And so that means just thousands and thousands against thee beyond the sea of the side of Syria. And behold, and he goes in, that they were over in En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah gathered themselves together to ask the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the earth? And in thy hands is there not power, might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people and gavest it to the seed, thy seed Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is here in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to an inheritance. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. So he knew militarily he could not stand against this league of nations that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children, Jehaziel and Zechariah and all these other, Benaiah, on and on, the Levites of the sons of Asaph. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said this, the prophet said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto thee, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down, here's the instruction of God, against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Jerusalem, Judah, Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Koranites and all of these stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high, and rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army to say, "Praise you the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For when the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them, when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy the other. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. This is incredible. This is incredible. Thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands, destroyed their own selves in one battle. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came, they came to take away the spoils of them. They found among them the abundance, both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. Is that incredible? 3 days it took all of Judah to carry away these spoils because it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in this certain place and began to worship the God of God. And so it goes on to talk about that they, in verse 28, they came to Jerusalem with psaltery and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of these countries. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that an incredible story or what? And it's truth. It really did happen. As we recount that all these were against them, and then something, because they got a word from the Lord, and because they obeyed that word, things happened and changed instantaneously. It was just that quick. It was an overnight something that happened. And as a result of it, they stripped away the spoils, and they were extremely blessed. This morning, I have the opportunity and the privilege to share that kind of testimony with you and to those that are watching. I will do this. I'm going to watch my notes and do it deliberately because I want to say what I need to say, but say no more than what I need to say because some things are private. This past Sunday, I gave an opportunity by the instruction of the Lord for people to know how to give in the possibilities of the up-and-coming future of us paying the mortgage off. I said at the time we did not know exactly. We do keep perfect books. We have right down to the exact check number and whatever. We know. Because of the transition that's taking place, we haven't got that far. We're doing our best to know what that is in the near future. That's not important at this point in time. Somewhere around $90,000 to $91,000. The Lord gave me instructions for people that are watching and people that are here because there was a certain sense in that God had begun to stir up the hearts. And I was so thankful. I knew that he was the one that was doing it. At the end of that service, there was very few people here, even fewer crowd than there is this morning. At the end of that service, somebody slipped up to me and said, "We put something in the offering this morning. And we want you to understand that it's just like you've always taught us and how the Holy Spirit has taught us is that it is a gift. And you understand this, gifts leave you, right? When you give it, then you don't say how you want it to be spent. okay? If you want a say of how you think it should be spent, I ask you never to give. Don't ever come and tell me how you think it should be spent once you write the check. That's you gave it to God, okay? That person said that, so I knew that I knew, and I will tell you this, that person, these persons are not, they are rich in Christ, but they are not rich as in considered as millionaires or people that have a great sum of money. I do not check, and I will not make it a practice in the future of checking on you and what you give. I like that. I do know from time to time, because when special things come in, I do hear about that, and I thank people, and I appreciate all of you for whatever you give at any particular time. But because that person had said that to me, it was interesting to me to find out what possibility that what they had given. So I come into our house, and I do not do this on a regular basis, but I reached in, I looked into the offering bag, and found that particular envelope. As I said, there was only a few. There was only a few, and I thank God for the few. I'm often reminded that one can make a big difference. As I looked into that offering envelope, Candy was in the back bedroom changing or doing something. She heard me scream, yell. I said, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my." She goes, "What's wrong?" "Oh, my God." After that, the only thing I can say is if you've ever seen the movie Home Alone, where the kid runs through the house screaming hallelujah, that was kind of what happened thereafter. I looked in the envelope, and this envelope for the church mortgage contained $50,000. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As I said, these people are just, they're just common people like you and I. And so we rejoiced in that. I knew that, as I had said, I will take this money. I knew I also had the option to do with it whatever else. Somebody said, "Did you think of a Lexus?" I said, "No, but a Ford pickup truck sure looked good at that time." Honestly, I did not even think of either one. Didn't even cross my mind. I knew where I was headed with it at the opportune time. I had prayed all week long and said, "God, I want to present this at a right time to the person that has, there are people, but one, I'm going to just say a person for confidentiality, and I think others will appreciate that. To present this to the person at the right time, at the right moment in the week." I had prayed about it, and sought the Lord early mornings and evening. I was making my confession. Yesterday was an incredible day. It was really incredible. I'll never forget it as long as I live, if I live to be 115, 20, 5, whatever. It was a good start. I went to Fort Myers, Mavis, and ran a 5K. Hey, hallelujah. Afterwards, had breakfast with my father at Cracker Barrel. Praise the Lord. There's only one breakfast at Cracker Barrel. That's the Uncle Herschel's with country ham. Hallelujah. And so I came home, and I got home early enough and got showered and was relaxing, and I was praying, "Lord, I need to contact this person. I want to have this presented before tomorrow's service." I didn't know how. I didn't want to. I'm not a person that'll just show up at your house. I did not want to invade their privacy late on a Saturday. That's when people are trying to relax. But through a series of events, God just supernaturally opened up that door. It was a supernatural ability. It was something that happened, which I will not explain, that opened up that door. And so I was able to schedule it was much more casual than an appointment, but it was an invitation to come out and see this particular person. When I arrived, I was able to, of course, I was invited in with great hospitality and was able to talk for a while and share. And we shared about other things. And then I came to the point of where I was able to share from us our heart of how thankful we were for that person's position and their generosity for 13 years. We received a non-interest loan in 2005, which would be 13 years. And paid the agreement for a long time and then fell behind and communicated as we fell behind. And it was totally agreeable with them for us to do what we could at the time. And so that was, I started into that, and that person relieved me immediately and me trying to explain how much I appreciated them, and just simply said that was not an issue. They really didn't even, it was not unnecessary to talk about. We talked about some other stuff for just a moment, and but I knew I had a $50,000 check burning in my pocket, and I wanted to spend it. And at this time, as far as I know, there's about $90,000 left, about half of what was originally borrowed or given. I proceeded as cautiously, as congenially, as if that's a word, as with as much congeniality as I possibly could, to pull this paper out that represented the desire of our heart to give back or pay $50,000 on this loan. This person, all I can say is, I'll preface it by saying this, it was one of the most generous and pure acts of love and kindness that I've ever, along with other people that were there, that I've ever experienced. They refused to take our money, refused to the point that as I'm listening to them, the Holy Spirit said, let them do what they want to do. Physically, because I'll tell you how wonderful it was, they physically took the money that was on the table and put it in my hand, the check, and I stuffed it down in my hand and said, I do not want this. I said, you don't understand. Until it's paid, we consider it a debt. Now, this part is confidential. It's a nunya. What does nunya mean? It's none your business. Okay. They proceeded to tell me how they would like to see this paid off in the future. They acknowledged that we're making a very, they weren't degrading it. They just acknowledged it, that we were making a very small, I would call it minuscule, small minuscule payment on a weekly basis or a continual basis. They said, do that, continue to do that, but this is how we'd like for it to take place. The way that they described, really for us, is a solution that means very little to no obligation financially or output for us for the future. It was incredible. Technically, you would say it's still there, but in all essence, it's already been solved. Is that incredible? They said, we want you to take this back and put it in the church, do with it what you need to do with it. They said some other stuff that is between me and them. The Lord said, submit. I did. It was wonderful. I knew immediately where a good portion of that already was going to be spent. Now, I hate debt. Debt that's not being adequately taken care of. You know, I taught economics 101, and I follow those things. I really do personally. Candy and I have been blessed. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying because I follow those principles, we have a tremendous credit rating. We pay our bills on time. If we can't do something, we don't do it. We don't do something not to pay our bills. In other words, we don't take a vacation or go spend money on a this or that or the other if we can't pay our bills. But I hate credit card bills, I guess, more than anything else, because it's highway robbery. Gary Carpenter talked about, if you've ever heard some of his victory reports. Now, I'll talk this morning. I'll never say these things in the trial. Dave taught us don't talk about stuff in the trial. Once you get past it and you got the victory, then you can share. Gary talked about that his credit card bill for the ministry and being able to having to put out the tapes and stuff. I think, I might be wrong on this, I think it got up to about $40,000. He said he knew that was not God's perfect plan, but he didn't really know what to do about it. He just had to keep doing what he needed to do until something broke. Our credit card bills for the church did not equal that, but they were headed there. We have gone through, at times, what Gary used to call money staying away from us in great abundance. And all I knew to do was to use what I do not like to do, credit cards, the credit card, until we met a day like we meet today. Hallelujah. This week I'm so thankful to tell you that credit card debt will be paid in full as a result of the gesture this person made to us and provided a plan for us that is a wonderful plan for our future. Hallelujah. Is that incredible? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What can I say? This week has been incredible. Besides for this, you guys don't walk around the building. I do sometimes. We have, this is a small facility, but at the same time, it has a lot of needs. It was built in 1970. That's 48 years old. It has four flat roofs on it. It's got a main sanctuary, those of you who are not here, and then it's got a quadrant of four little areas that are flat roofs. Those flat roofs were, some of them were in a mess. Our kitchen was leaking. You don't spend money when you don't have it. We're just believing God. And without any solicitation, without any my begging or your begging, there was a roofer that came in here this week with a large group of men, a number of trucks, and fixed all four roofs with a very expensive material. The actual bill was up in the 20s of thousands, and they marked on that bill paid in full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something to that extent. I don't know exactly. This has all happened in 1 week. Hallelujah. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to pay off a credit card Monday or Tuesday as soon as that clears the bank. Hallelujah. But let me tell you. Let me tell you for just a moment. How did this come about? Well, first of all, it did not come about by us planting big financial seeds or me teaching on sowing and reaping. It came about by the Word of God and by confession of the Word of God. We are, for the first time ever in 20-something years since the beginning of the church, in all essence, not in what would be the word, not in the strictest form of, there's a word that escapes me at the moment, but in all essence, today we are debt-free. Hallelujah. Did not come by by sowing seeds. It came by the confession of God's word. I was looking for my cell phone. I sent my grandson over. I had left it someplace this morning. I said, I got to have it. I'm going to tell you, this is not me, like totally me. I don't want to stand up here and say, I did this. I did it. We did it. As far as the confession part, but I can tell you this. I called Gary. I called, let me find this as I'm talking to you. I've got to go to my iCloud here, go to my confessions. I called Gary Carpenter about two or three years ago. And it was one of those times where money was staying away with in great abundance. And I'm a faith man. I don't like to complain. It's one of those timeout deals. And I as a comrade in arms, I basically was sharing with him from the standpoint like, critique me. Is there something that I'm not, is there something I'm missing here? Because at that time, now the battle's past that point. And we talked for a little bit. And he said, now let me, he said, let me get this straight. I said, okay. He said, because he was putting things in perspective. I said, okay, let's get it straight. Now, I can't remember verbatim exactly what he said, but you know Gary, everything he does always goes back to the word. It's just word. It doesn't matter what your situation is, it's word. He said, now let me get this straight. You're telling me, he goes, now you guys are you're a WWW, right? I said, yeah. He said, I mean, your website is worldwide, you know, web. Bronk Flint. He said, so you're international now. I said, yes, sir. In that sense the word, yep. And he says, you're telling me there's about $100 in your account. I said, yes, sir. $100 or less. He basically started laughing. He said, it's an attack, but he always took me back. It's the word. You stand on the word. I can't remember exactly what he said that day, but like I said, for Gary, you just stay on the word. I will tell you this, as I said, it's not me alone. It's all of us, your prayers, our confessions on Sunday nights, our financial confessions. But I have been, I'll tell you this, by the grace of God, I have been in the last 2 years more adamant, more faithful to the confession of God's word than I ever have been in my life. God had me about 2 years ago put a file together in my iCloud files and then some subfiles, and Candy knows as my witness, God is my witness, but Candy's also my witness that I confess these things all the time, continually in my life. I'm out on the front swing doing it. I'm early in the morning doing it. I'm where any time that God will interrupt my life, I have been faithful to do it. Well, let me share with you this morning, just real quickly. Now, you may have your own, but I put these things together, and some of them were the first one. I've been doing it for a couple years. One of them was the ones that I passed out, Gary, the one that Gary put together, the financial confessions. I would go through that, and the Lord showed me a long time ago through some teachings I heard on Gary, make it specific. Figure out what you need, and then go above that to where the Lord said, that's for you personally. I had a personal confession that I had and then I had a confession for the church. And I say, Lord, that this much comes in on a weekly basis. And I say, now here's one of my favorite. Here's one of my favorite. I'd also go to the book of Acts. I had some in here on the book of Acts. There are three or four verses where that there was a great grace on them. And I would say things like, after I would read that and confess it to the Lord, I'd say, Lord, there is a great grace. That great grace is upon us, not only upon this church, but upon the people worldwide. It's not a manipulation on my part. It's not me telling them, but there's a generosity that's being generated for what you have purposed in the earth to receive revival. That great grace for giving is upon your people. I call this into existence, and I say that our credit card bills are paid. I say that our mortgage is paid. I would often do this one. I love this one, and you've heard me in recent even minister on this. And Moses, and I would do this, I've done this one so many times, I think I've gotten God, I think at times God's almost where he's like, okay, not really, but he loves his word. And I put on this sub file, too much. This one was my too much confession. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which he had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to make. And Moses gave commandment. In the natural, this doesn't happen. It's just almost like a fairy tale. They caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work, that's giving, for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Everybody say too much. I would say, and I have said now for about 2 years faithfully, I say that you're the God of too much. I say over my personal life, you're the God of too much, but I say over this church that you're the God of the too much. You're the God of the 12 baskets left over. You're the God of the 7 baskets left over. You're the God of Joseph's silos in Egypt. Lord, I say that there are silos that are full and running over. These silos are not for us to have be rust eaten or moth eaten, for us to sit and say we have in the bank, but Lord, there are silos that are full that to be used for the kingdom of God in the days ahead. It's not our money, it's your money, but I say every debt is paid, our mortgage is paid, our credit card is paid, and the Lord has heard that continually. I'm telling you, what we're seeing this morning is the result of your confessions and my confessions. We didn't sow it into existence, we believed it into existence through the word of God. I said to Kent, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to preface this real quick, because I got something to say that I've never heard before. I've never heard myself say it, and I've never heard anybody else say it. I'm not saying it's never been said before. Listen, first of all, if you're out there listening, if you're a giver and you want to continue to give, there's ongoing needs here. Obviously, this is a building that's 48, almost 50 years old. There's a whole lot more that could be done to this building. Okay. There's other things we want to do with our camera equipment. There's in other words, if you need a project, there's a lot of places that we can spend God's money. But here's the deal. Now, here's where I might get some of you to say, I'm going to get a little antsy here. God's already shown me way before this. I'm not speaking from a guy that's got the debt paid. This was before I even knew all this was coming. There'll never be a point. Now, don't get mad about this. Just relax, because we never take anything from anybody. We just allow you to. But there's never going to be a point where there's not going to be great needs put in front of you, because that's the expanse of the kingdom. We don't know no settling spot. God's already begun to speak to my heart about expansion, that there's going to be more that we're going to ask and say. So I'm telling you, you entrepreneurs, there's always reason to be giving and receiving and blessing God and say, but I can tell you this, I'm not going to take it and go get rich myself, okay? But I will tell you this, there are needs there will continue to be needs. And we've got a small obligation that we're going to continue to pay this person. But I said there's a plan in action that's incredible. And that's that private part that's between me and him. But here's the deal. There's reason to always give. But this is, this. I ran in the house, I was sitting out there. I said, my God, Candy, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. She goes, what? What is it, honey? She goes, oh, you want me to stop? Yeah, I just want, you got to listen. I said, this scripture today, tomorrow, is fulfilled. I'm telling you, as far, now I'm not telling you in all things, but as far as the church mortgage debt is concerned, I'm restraining you from bringing any more. Don't bring any, don't send any major. If I had the full amount today, that person wouldn't take it. It's already over in another plan. I get the opportunity. I've never heard anybody, I've never heard a preacher ask people, don't give. Don't give and continue to give. But that part that we've presented for the last few years, don't give anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is this an unusual service or what? We're going to rejoice. Turn with me to one other place. I'm going to give instruction. We're going to get up here and enjoy ourselves for just a moment. Those of you that are watching, you're part of the family. Hallelujah. By the way, I've shared some of this. I shared with Jim Martin. Jim Martin, I was on the phone with him, sharing with him last night. He's rejoicing with all of you. And Jim said this, when we see these kinds of things happen, it just makes us all want to press in all the more. I appreciate that about this incredible man of God. Gary, I talked to him this week and shared, he hasn't heard all of this. He'll hear it because he'll watch this later in the week. But Gary shared on another subject with me, and it just makes absolute sense about today. Back in his text that he sent me, he said, what causes our joy to be full? What causes our joy to be full? And he sent these scriptures. It's in John 16. You don't have to turn there. 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Gary said this, what causes our joy to be full is answered prayer. Hallelujah. We've got some answered prayer this morning, folks. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. One other place, and then we're gonna come up here, and these fine gentlemen are going to lead us in some work. By the way, no church tonight. I want you to go home. I want you to celebrate. I want us to celebrate beginning now, and I want us to celebrate all week long. We won't be here Wednesday night. That's the 4th of July. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh, I'm not going to read through all this. Let me explain it real quickly. Nehemiah had gone back with the Jews that had left Babylon, and he had rebuilt the wall, and Ezra was there, and the different ones that had come back to establish Israel back to its original state. Cyrus had sent them back, and they were back in their homeland. They'd built the wall, or building the wall, and Zerubbabel, and you know, these guys, the high priest had come in, and so they're reading the word of God. It had been maybe decades since they had heard the word. I love it. I've heard Homer say so many times how much he loves this word. One of the first things that he does when the full manifestation takes place, he's just going to sit and just read and read and read. Right now, he's definitely in the Word of God as much or more than anybody I know. But there's a part that he just wants to read and read. I've seen him many times take this word and kiss it and kiss it and kiss it. And it's an expression of his love. The Israelites that day, they stood in a solemn assembly. There was thousands of them. And Ezra stood up to pray or stood up to read, just to stand and read the Word of God. And then the Word says that they basically calls the people to have knowledge of it. In other words, to explain it to them. And they begin, after decades of not hearing the Word, they begin to weep and cry because the Word became so precious to them. But I want you to look at verse 10. It says in verse 9, he said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept, and when they heard the words of the law. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. And well, let me stop right there. There's times for fasting, then there's party times, okay? And let me tell you, for all of you watching, all you wonderful vegans out there, even the Lord said this, eat the fat. There's times where you can't get fat out of a carrot stick or a salad. There's times where it's time to party down and get some grease from a hamburger or a pork chop or something. Eat the fat. The Lord said, this is the way that you party down. You don't go fix a salad. You eat the fat and drink the sweet. Now, I stay away from that sweet tea. He said, eat the pork chop, eat the hamburger, Pastor Bronx hamburger, and drink some sweet tea. Hallelujah. Well, I'm saying, I don't want no sugar. It'll kill you. Well, then pour some of Marty's honey in there, but drink something sweet and eat something fat. Party down. The Lord said, woo, just have a good time. And what did he say here? He said, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions. In other words, throw a barbecue or throw a party. Send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy. God. Jesus. This day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, in 1 week's time, we've had about four things happen that equals up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that has changed overnight. We've never seen this in 20-something years. I think it's time to rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory.